BBC News with Chris Barrow. More European leaders have rejected President Trump's demands for help securing the passage of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, which is under an Iranian blockade. After a meeting of EU foreign ministers, the bloc's foreign policy chief, Kaya Kallas, explained Europe's reluctance.
This is not Europe's war, and this situation in the region, we have the Operation Aspides in the Red Sea. The discussion was that it should be strengthened because it doesn't have too many naval assets. It should have more. But the discussion on whether we are also extending this mandate to cover the Strait of Hormuz, there was no appetite from the member states to do that.
The president of Finland, Alexander Stubb, told the BBC that Mr. Trump had launched a surprise attack on Iran, and he agreed with the German chancellor that it was not a matter for NATO. At the White House earlier, President Trump again criticised countries for not being enthusiastic about taking part. Iran has continued its retaliatory drone strikes. Among Monday's targets in the region were infrastructure sites, including the Shah oil field in the United Arab Emirates. Azadeh Mashiri is in Dubai.
It's not the first time that Iran has targeted countries in this region, but it's the scale that's different, which is why we've heard officials say they're surprised by what they're witnessing. It's to see Dubai International Airport with a fire breaking out from a drone-related incident earlier today, to see another major oil terminal in Fujairah see a fire break out, to have a missile drop on top of a car. These are incidents that are major blows to the image of safety and security.
Heavy fighting is reported to be taking place in southern Lebanon between Hezbollah fighters and Israeli troops. Several thousand soldiers are now believed to be inside Lebanese territory. Earlier, the IDF said it was acting to enhance its buffer zone against Hezbollah, and the Israeli defense minister said Lebanese civilians would not be able to return to the area in the near future, raising fears of a prolonged occupation. Fresh Pakistani airstrikes have killed a number of Afghan civilians in a clinic in the capital, Kabul. The Taliban authorities said a number of other targets had been hit. The conflict between the two neighbours re-erupted last month. Our Pakistan correspondent Caroline Davis reports from Islamabad.
An hour after the strike, the BBC Pashto team saw charred bodies and the injured being carried away on stretchers from the large drug rehabilitation facility. Part of the hospital had collapsed completely. Family members gathered, waiting, begging for news. Taliban authorities estimated the casualties could rise dramatically, but are yet to be counted. Loud explosions had earlier rung out across Kabul. The Taliban Defence Ministry said Pakistan was attempting to occupy the city's airspace and their forces had fired on Pakistan planes in response.
World news from the BBC. The Cuban government says it will allow nationals living abroad to invest directly in the communist country, in a further liberalisation of its embattled economy. The Deputy Prime Minister, Oscar Perez Olivia Fraga, said US-based citizens would now be able to own businesses on the island. The Trump administration has imposed a near-total fuel blockade on the country. Chile has begun constructing trenches and a wall along its northern border with Peru as part of the new government's plan to reduce undocumented crossings. The far-right president, José Antonio Kast, who was sworn in last week, made lowering illegal immigration a key plank of his election campaign. An activist who'd taken part in demonstrations at New York's Columbia University against Israel's offensive in Gaza has been released from US immigration custody after a year. Lekar Cordia, a 33-year-old Palestinian resident of New Jersey, was taken to a privately run facility in Texas last March. She was the last of dozens arrested under the Trump administration's crackdown on campus protests still being held. Scientists in Scotland say they've discovered a way to make a drug for treating Parkinson's disease from used plastics. Researchers used a specially engineered bacteria to turn food and drink waste into a medication called levodopa. Lucy Aitchison reports.
The process uses specially engineered E. coli bacteria. First, the plastic is broken down into its basic chemical building blocks. The bacteria then transform those compounds through a series of biological reactions, producing the medicine in just over a day and at room temperature. Researchers say that makes it far less energy intensive than conventional pharmaceutical manufacturing. The team is now working with industry partners to see if the process can be scaled up. If it can, scientists say plastic waste could one day become a valuable raw material, helping to produce medicines while tackling one of the world's biggest environmental problems.